seated. Thank you for that very warm welcome. I always am honored and delighted to be here and to see familiar faces. And it's also good to see some new faces. How many here have never heard me preach before? Okay, I'm going to put a disclaimer out. Do not judge this church. Do not judge the pastors of this church by anything I say or do. The pastors are so much better looking, better preachers, better ministers. And so, especially if you're visiting here tonight, please come Sunday morning and you will be blessed. Praise the Lord. And so, Pastor Brad made mention that I pulled him out of the ditch. Actually, I ruined his ministry. He came to me. Well, you had to be 20-some years old. And, of course, he was in some weird camp, you know, that everyone was a prophet and apostle. And he was called as a prophet to the nations, you know, at 20 years old. And God don't call prophets at 20s or 30s, you know. They prove them another office. And so I flat ruined his ministry within a week. I pulled the plug of his prophet's ministry and put him in a good place, amen, and a place where he can grow and develop. And so, and you can see the fruit. Wow, what a wonderful man of God he's become. And of course, your pastors are top notch. Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie. Wow, I'm so honored that I would be asked to fill the pulpit and why they're gone. You know, it's humbling for me. And I know this, if I wasn't pastoring and if I wasn't ministering, going all over the place, if I needed a church home, I'd be looking right here. Praise the Lord. It don't get better than this. Amen. And so you guys are truly, truly blessed. And every time I'm asked to minister, I look forward to being with you because there's so many good utterances. It just seems like I'm able to flow. I'm able to say things. The house is well prepared. And I'm always excited to see what the Lord has for us. And I've noticed this, that when I come here, not only do I have messages, a message for this local body, but very often he gives me a message for the body of Christ. And so my voice is being elevated, not just in the family churches, but I travel, you know, in America and also internationally. I do go to Canada once or twice a year to minister, so we're widening our horizons. And so it's exciting. It's exciting what God is doing, and we don't want to miss out on it. And so, you know, we started off with one church. Now we have 11 churches and more on the way, a work in Spain. And we're just getting started. We're endeavoring to get this job done before Jesus comes. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, I want to give you a little preview of what's going to happen this year. And then we're going to get in the message that will help us to be smack dab in the middle of what God is doing. And so, I'm not a movie goer, but I remember as a kid going to the movies. And before you had your main feature, they would run these little clips of films to come. Coming out in spring, you know, coming out in the summer, coming out in the fall. And it wasn't the whole picture, it just enough to know what was coming. And then you got to your main feature. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to give you a little insight of what's going to happen in 2018. And so now how do I know this? Well, I operate in more than one office, but also, you know, the Lord has had me to pray for some time for the body of Christ. When I mean the body of Christ, I mean the whole body. You know, we do know this, there's more to the body of Christ than the family churches. And, you know, God is very interested in his whole body. And God is interested in those that don't know the Holy Ghost yet, don't have the Holy Ghost. You know, anybody that is born again and accepted Jesus is part of the body of Christ. And, you know, some camps have a little bit more light than others, but Jesus is very interested in the whole body. And so, oh, I think it probably started in the summer of last year that I just began to pray and pray a lot for the body of Christ and just burden about the body, about God's plan for the body. And several years ago, the Lord told me this, that whatever I would sow into, he will allow me to see into. What does that mean? You sow in the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit. And so I've noticed this, that if I pray for something over a course of a long time and I keep at it, the Lord would show me concerning something that I prayed about. And the Lord was true to his word concerning the body of Christ. He began to show me things that would happen in the body and what he wanted to do in the body, and specifically some things that would start happening in 2018. Would you like to hear about them? And so one thing, he began to show me about ministries. I mean, you know, the Bible says that God set some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He set them in the body of Christ. God sets some ministers and ministries in order to help the body of Christ to get them ready. And the Lord began to show me that there's going to be some changes in the ministry. Of course, we understand that there's going to be an increase coming in these last days, but there was going to be a purge concerning ministers and ministries, some changes. And I was caught up in the Spirit, and I saw this. I saw that there were certain ministers and ministries that were kind of overlooked and unnoticed, that, you know, they weren't very famous. People didn't know too much about them, but they were being prepared for an hour. They were being prepared for a day, that they were being schooled by the Spirit, and they were being trained by the Lord for a specific time to rise and shine. And sort of like they were kept in secret, and then they were going to be made manifest. So I saw that in the Spirit. I saw that there would be ministries that it looked like they, out of nowhere, they would begin to rise and merge and come with great power and great might in the body of Christ. So that's going to be happening. We've seen it already in measures, and I believe your pastors are part of that. And many of the pastors of the family churches, that, man, that things are going to happen, increase is coming. And it's an exciting thing. But I also saw this, that I saw some that were, what the Holy Ghost said, in the limelight now. And he said this, by their own power and their own might, that they will begin to go in obscurity. I mean, you can proclaim yourself a minister. You can get on TV and not be anointed. You can get on Facebook, call yourself a minister, and attract a following. And people may think you're a preacher and call you a preacher, but you're a self-made preacher. The Lord didn't make you a preacher. And also with ministries, you can manipulate your ministry. You can manipulate the anointing to get a crowd. And I saw this, that folks that did those things would begin to lose popularity and go into obscurity. So there would be a change. And, you know, when the Lord showed me, you know, there's great revelation that, yes, there's going to be such a great increase in ministers and ministries, but for those who qualify, for those who stayed true to the plan and purpose of God. But also, he began to show me about the whole body of Christ. And he kept saying this, that there's going to be an elevation, a rise coming to the body of Christ. I've often shared, I believe I shared here, about Tommy Hicks's vision. If you've not read it, find it. Reverend Scott, go ahead and post it. But Tommy Hicks was a man of God and had a vision about the body of Christ, how the body of Christ was like a statue laying down on the earth. And as long as that statue, that being laid down, all this debris, all these hideous creatures kept them down. But as that giant began to rise, the darkness and debris would shake off of him, and all these hideous creatures, demons, would shake off him, and he began to rise. And God showed Tommy Hicks that in the last days, the church of God is going to rise in power and do the works of Jesus and bring the harvest in. So I've been praying along these lines. And the Spirit of God keeps saying an elevation, a rise is happening in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is going to raise up in power and might. So it's happening. It started. Now, I knew this several years ago. The Lord showed me this. And I don't understand everything, you know. And if you know more about this, I'll sit down and let you talk about it. You know, I only know what the Lord shows me. But years ago, the Lord showed me that the year that Dr. Billy Graham would die, that something would happen amazing in the body of Christ. Now, I don't understand how these things work. You know, we see in part, we know in part, but we understand, we get some light in the Bible that, remember when Elijah was caught up to heaven, that mantle came down, and when Elijah left, then began the ministry of Elisha. Elisha's ministry could never come to the forefront as long as Elijah was there. And so when the previous generation, a general dies, it seems like something is brought forth in the next generation. He took up the mantle, and we understand this. He did twice as many works as Elijah. Elisha did that. And we've heard of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth died in 1947. Well, what happened in 1947? That was the year the healing revival began. So God works in these ways. Yeah, I don't understand it all, but I know it's true. And the Lord showed me that the year that Dr. Billy Graham dies, there's going to be a great rise, a great increase. So here for months I've been praying about this, and lo and behold, we know this, in 2018, guess what happened? Dr. Billy Graham went to heaven. So we know the time is here. The time is now that God is doing something mighty in the body of Christ. And I want to be in the middle of it. I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. Now, we read in, you know, Acts chapter 5 that the greatest revival on the face of the earth was happening, and Ananias and Sapphira missed it. They were doing their own thing. They had their own mindset. They were going their own way, and they flat missed out of what God was doing on the earth. Well, I don't want to be like that. I'm sure you don't want to be like that. So I want to share with you some things that will help you be smack dab in what God is doing. And you know, and there was something else. You want to hear a little bit more? One more preview? Now, this is kind of exciting that, since 2017, the Holy Ghost has been having me pray about finances in the body of Christ. Now, I've walked close with the Lord. You know, I pray lots in the Spirit. You know, I've been in ministry for 30-some years. And it wasn't until last year that the Holy Ghost began just specifically in majoring in my prayer time about praying for finances for the body of Christ to come. You know, and I thought it was a little weird because I'm used to praying for people, for ministers, situations. And all of a sudden, I'd get in the Spirit, and I'd begin to prophesy and begin to declare, money is coming to the body of Christ. Money is coming. Finances is coming to the body of Christ. And, you know, I thought, Holy Ghost, why were we praying for money? We ought to be praying for people. We ought to be praying for souls. But how many know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Ghost knows the mind of the Father? And he prays and gives us intercession according to the will of God. So evidently, it is the will of God that finances come to the body of Christ. And so I've been praying for months and months, declaring by that prophet's office, finances is coming. And so all these things are starting to come together. Dr. Billy Graham dies. God begins to show me about what's going to happen in 2018. You know, and I was just in California with Pastor Nancy Dufresne for Holy Ghost meetings. And she had a guest minister there. And this guest minister said that the Lord told him that 2018 is the year of the transfer of wealth from the wicked to the just. Now, I don't understand about all that. I've never preached that. I see the principle in the Bible, but it just seems to be fitting. You know, I don't know about that, but I do know the Holy Ghost. I've walked with him for 30 years, and the Holy Ghost is emphasizing money is coming. Finances are coming into the body of Christ. Now, I don't want to take much time to teach on that, but you see throughout the Bible, wherever the glory goes, that's where the gold goes. We know in Haggai chapter 2, where it says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. And God says, in this house I will put my glory. But he says in the same breath, all the gold and silver is mine. I will bring in the desire of the nations. What is the desire of the nations? That's the wealth of the nations. And he says, I'm going to fill my house with gold and glory. That's just the way God rolls. Just the way God operates. And so these things are happening. Now, why do we need finances? Well, to get the job done. It probably cost a penny or two to build this building. I'm sure it costs a little bit for the lights, for the equipment. You know, and, you know, people going to Africa, Asia, preaching the gospel, you know. You just can't get on that airplane and says, you know, I'm going by faith. No, they want dinero. They want money. Then, you know, then you have to set up speakers and get hotel lodgings. All that stuff costs money. And you study all through the Bible. Whenever God was doing something, he funded it. When he wanted to build the tabernacle in Moses' day, he brought them forth with silver and gold. They were loaded. And then when it came time for the offering, there was so much offering that Moses had to say, you have to stop giving. We have too much for the offering. We've not gotten there yet. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that day. And then, of course, the building of Solomon's temple. My, all the supply. Why? God funds his move. God funds his revival. God funds his glory. And so, I'm about you in an exciting time to be living. And I want to be smack dab in the middle of it. I want to be a minister that is elevated and enriched, not cast aside. I want to be part of the body that rises up in power and might. And all those finances I've been praying in, glory to God, right over here. Right over here and right over there. Amen. But we understand this. We have to cooperate with God. Ananias and Sapphira didn't cooperate with God and they missed it. And so I want to share with you something the Lord has been dealing with me about and been sharing this and that I believe will help us just be right where we need to be. So I said all that to have you turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Are you hungry tonight? Are you wanting the will of God tonight? Praise the Lord. And so Galatians chapter 6. And starting with verse 6. It says this, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, we often read these scriptures when it comes to the offering, and of course, it does apply to the offering in context. That's what it's talking about. But this principle applies to everything else in life and in ministry as well, because we know this, it's talking about sowing seeds, right? You know, he that soweth, when we give, we sow. And we understand this in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is as a man that should cast seed into the ground. Everything God does is pretty much in the form of seed. And seed gets planted, it grows, then it is harvested. And so these scriptures are talking about sowing seed. And real quick, we understand this in verse 6. It says this, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in every good thing. So it says every time we hear the word of God, what? We are to sow seeds. We're to sow financially. Verse 7, and this is pretty amazing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what God is saying, if you sow little, you're going to reap little. If you're going to sow much, you're going to reap much. And when it says God's not mocked, it means God cannot be blamed for your harvest. You know, whatever you sow, that is going to, what you're going to reap. If you're always sowing the same thing, the same amount for the past 4 years, and you're believing God for increase, God cannot be mocked and be blamed for your harvest. Because God says how and what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so, again, we understand this when it applies to the offering. We're not focusing on the offering, but we do want to just kind of go an overview of the scriptures. In verse 8, it tells us, he that sows his flesh of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Very simply, you sow good seeds, they bless you. You sow carnal seeds, they curse you. You know, again in life, the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, in marriage, you sow bad words to each other, you reap a bad marriage. God cannot be blamed for that. Same thing, you go to work and you don't work very well, you cheat on your boss, you don't give him 100%, you lose your job, you can't blame God because you sowed bad seeds, you know, you sowed to the flesh. And so we understand that. But what God is doing here in these three verses, he tells us the power of the seed. And he says, whatever kind of seed you plant, it is going to grow and you will harvest from them, whether it's good or bad. And we know that in nature. If you plant corn seeds, what you're going to get? Corn. And the more corn seeds you plant, the more harvest of corn. If you want beans, you sow beans. If you want more beans, you plant more beans. Praise the Lord. And we understand the power of a seed. God's dynamic DNA is in a seed. That seeds will grow if they're planted. And really, you really can't stop them from growing. I'm sure we've all seen this, that you've seen plants grow on rocks. There's no dirt there, but somehow they find a way to get their little roots in that rock and they grow. You know, I've seen plants grow out of concrete. You know, I just had some of my driveway blacktopped last year, and there was a plant or something growing on a, you know, piece of that old asphalt, and they weed sprayed it and they cut it out. And then they put 4 inches of asphalt on top of it. And you know what happened 3 weeks later? Boom. It came up. Why? The power of a seed, the power of life in a seed. It will grow if it's planted. You never need to point to God, God, why ain't things growing? He says, if you sow it, it will come to pass. It will harvest. Now, I want to primarily focus on verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So after we plant a seed, we are encouraged not to be weary in well-doing. Now, why is that? Why would we get weary in well-doing if God says it will absolutely grow? Well, if you've done any farming, any planting, you understand this. There is a time factor involved. From the time of planting to the time of harvest. I learned this as a kid. You know, growing up on the farm, we all would have, each one of us kids would have our own plot of ground. And we could do anything, plant anything we wanted in. So, you know, I like sweet peas. Not the kind you cook. You ruin peas if you cook them. I mean, fresh off the vine. You know, that type of thing. And I like beans and watermelons and so forth. And so we worked the ground. And we got the rocks out and we planted the seeds. And we're excited because on the seed box, it showed us what kind of harvest we're going to get. And so, man, we're excited. We read, oh, you'll have the most sweetest peas, you know, snap peas, whatever. And so we planted them and we laid them out. We watered them. And the next day we came out to the garden and said, where are they? Nothing but dirt. And all that work we put in the day before, nothing but dirt. And so we did it the next day. Nothing but dirt. 2 weeks go by, and all we get is a little sprout out of the ground. Well, at least there's movement and excitement. But it wasn't until 6, 8, 10 weeks later, and we had to do all this watering and all this weeding. It wasn't until 10 weeks later that we finally begin to eat the harvest of the seeds we sowed. And so here, God is telling us not to be weary. You planted it, it will grow. It will harvest. Not be concerned about the time factor. If you got seed in the ground, it's going to grow. Do not be weary. It will come to pass. But then God says something very interesting. He says, you will reap it, but he gives us a little warning. If you faint not. What's that mean? He says, those seeds you plant, they are going to harvest. I guarantee they will, unless you give up on those seeds. What if, after 2 or 3 weeks, you know, when we planted those seeds, and all we have is these little sprouts, and you know, we're not eating any peas, we're not eating any beans, we're not eating any watermelons. And after 4 weeks of all that work and weeding, and it seems like weeds were growing faster than the seeds were, and we just say, the heck with it. Let's get the lawnmower and let's just mow that thing under. I'm tired. I'm tired of weeding. I'm tired of doing the same thing. It doesn't seem like it's working. I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I have nothing to show for it. Guess what? We're not going to reap because we fainted and we cut off the life of the seed. So God is telling us not to be weary. But he also tells us you can lose your harvest if you give up. And so I say to you, there is a harvest coming. There is a great increase in the body of Christ. We've heard about it. We've heard others talking about it. I tell you, it is coming. It is coming. And you're lined up for the increase. You're lined up for the harvest of the seeds you sown if you faint not, if you don't give up on it. Now, we understand this about seeds, but something of late the Lord's been showing me, and it's been fascinating, and I want to share it with you this morning, and tonight, and we're going to see that all of us have been positioned for this time. This time of harvest. And some things that maybe you've gone through, some things that you looked at and says, man, I sowed all the seed and I really, really not have gotten much harvest over my tithes and offerings, over my service, Lord. You're going to see that there's an appointed season for that. Okay? And something the Lord's been dealing with me and showing me is the principle of a tree. When God wants to grow a squash, God takes 8 to 10 weeks. We understand how squash work. Just like everything else, you plant squash, you wait 10 weeks, you take care of the seed, you get squash. Then after you're done eating the squash, that's it. There's no more harvest. You eat it all. And if you want more squash, what? You got to plant more seeds for next year. Same thing with peas and beans and so forth. But what God has been showing me, that there's the principle of a tree. And trees harvest differently than plants. Plants, you sow the seeds, there's an appointed time, you eat the harvest, and they stop harvesting. But what you got to do is keep casting seed, keep planting if you want more of that kind of harvest. But you don't do that with trees. Once you plant a tree, it's in the ground. And you don't need, if you get a harvest off of a tree, you don't need to tear that tree down and plant a new tree. That next year, it'll actually put out more harvest. And that's something the Lord's shown, especially in these last days. It is not like a plant. It's like a tree. And I was talking to Annie Durant about this. And she said this. I think we got it wrong when it comes to the fullness of the harvest of God in our lives. Because we're always thinking of seeds. We're always thinking of plants. And the Lord showed it to her too. It's more like trees. That trees, they take time to age. They need time for the roots to grow. That they come to a place of maturity. And once it's in place of maturity, then it begins to bear fruit. And we're going to look at some things that we're going to see the principle of a tree. Now, before we do that, we want to give you chapter and verse. So turn with me real quick to Psalms chapter 1. I'm looking at a bunch of trees here tonight. Not squash, trees, praise the Lord. And this last day harvest will be a harvest according to the law of the tree and not so much as the plant. Now, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be a plant by the river. No, he shall be by like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now notice this, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now notice the talk likens us. And really, nowhere in the Bible does it likens us to plants. But many places in the Bible, God likens us to trees. And trees bring forth fruit in their season. Now, it sounds like Galatians chapter 6, due season. Now, I learned this lesson well. Now, I grew up on the farm. And, we had a farm. I know a lot about seeds. But when I was about 15 years old, I began to work for a man called Rick Walker, which had, a big farm and a big plant in Forestville, New York. And did many things on that plant and that farm. And one of my duties was to plant cherry trees. And I think one year we must have planted 100 cherry trees. And that was a lot of work. I mean, because, he had acreage and farm, you had to figure out exactly where the holes should be dug. And you dig these holes. And then you had these saplings, or these shoots of trees are about this long. And they couldn't be buried too deep or too shallow, just right. And they had to be bent just right in a certain direction in order for them to grow, the best. And then what you had to do after all that work of getting these 100 trees into the ground, you had to maintain them. You had to water them. We watered them by hand. You had to fertilize them. You know, I'm used to a 12-foot lawn mower attached behind the tractor, diesel tractor, you know, with the PTO shaft. And around the big trees, you know, you can ding them and it wouldn't hurt them. But you couldn't do that around these small trees. One little ding would kill them. And so we had to mow around these trees by hand. A lot of work on these trees. And Rick Walker told me this. He told me that he knew that from the day I planted, it would be 7 years before they saw really any harvest out of those trees. 7 years. 7 years of fertilizing, 7 years of watering, mowing, taking care of it, and so forth, before you saw any harvest out of those trees. It seemed like a whole lot of work. Whole lot of work. Now let me ask you this. What if in the sixth year I said, I've had it? Here I planted, dug these holes, I followed all the rules, I mowed by hand, we water them, fertilized them, you know, we kept the bugs off of them, and it's been 6 years, and I have nothing to show for all the work I've done into them. Bless God, I'm going to take that 12-foot mower and I'm just going to mow them all down. What would have happened? I would have lost 6 years of planting, sowing, and work, and I have nothing to show of it. Brothers and sisters, so many times people do this in the local church. Here they've been serving in the local church. God called them to the local church and been serving for years and years, and they get offended. Something causes them to leave and say, bless God, I'm unrooting from this local church. They just cut off their life source. And those years that they served, they will never get a harvest from it. Because the Bible says a faithful man shall abound in blessing. And God's measuring tape for faithfulness is not measured in days, weeks, or months. It's in years. And this is something that it's been just growing on the inside of us. Because many of you have been faithful to serve, faithful to tithe, faithful to give, to help your pastor. You've been in season and out doing the right thing, and you're looking around, where's my blessing? I hear about prosperity. I hear about great things, and nothing seems to be happening. Your harvest is coming. Your due season is coming. And you're going to reap everything you sowed if you faint not. Mrs. Linda Amadon's here. She used to work for Tractor Supply, right? She thinks it's 10 years ago, 8 years ago, somewhere a long time ago, I bought a bunch of peach trees from her. Now, when I planted those cherry trees, they were only this high. And I knew 7 years is a long time to wait. And so I bought peach trees that were 12 foot high. You know, you get wise over the years. And I got my measuring tape. I marked them, how far they should be apart and so forth. I dug holes. I planted them, took care of them. And so, in my mind, next year, I'm going to harvest off these trees. Next year came. Nothing. The following year came. Nothing. The year after that, nothing. I had leaves and no fruit, just like the fig tree. I wanted to curse it, just like Jesus did. It wasn't until 6 or 7 years of all this work that in the seventh year, all of a sudden, I had some peaches. And it wasn't a whole lot. But the eighth year, which was last year. Every year the harvest got bigger and bigger And last year, we had so many peaches that the branches begin to break. One tree just went like this. So much fruit, it snapped. We couldn't give enough peaches away. The deer couldn't eat them all. We couldn't eat them all. They laid on the ground. You know, we were throwing them to dogs to play catch with them. We had so many peaches. What if I got weary? In the sixth or seventh year, nothing. Or after the seventh year, when we got a handful, that it wasn't worth it. And I just went over there with my chainsaw and get a little flesh release and cut them all down and taught them a lesson. We would never experience the harvest. And see, the law of the trees is the more time you give for the root to grow, the more fruit that will be on the tree. And healthy trees always produce more and more each year. I tell you, we're coming into a harvest time that is likened to a tree. Faithful people will abound in blessing. This applies in life and ministry. You know, I was called from my mother's womb, and I gave my life to Jesus at 18 years old. I went off to Rhema, obeyed God, and I come back ready to win the world. Send me forth as an evangelist to the nations. And I was an assistant pastor for 7.5 years. Then I became senior pastor in 1995. But something very amazing, and I'm being honest with you, the first 20 years of my ministry, I suffered financially. I suffered. I mean, here I taught prosperity, I taught faith. I wasn't eating off the tree. I was doing everything. I tithed, I gave. I started this church. I was doing 3 services a day and a midweek service, you know, and obeying God. And I had a car that was falling apart, and I had no money for my family to eat. I remember going through the couch. You know, my wife says, my kids are hungry, need something to eat. I had no money. Here I'm doing the work of the Lord and 3 services. And I'm going through the couch trying to find quarters to buy bread and milk. And honestly, it looked like it wasn't working. It looked like that I was in a desert. There was nothing good happening. What would happen after the 20 years? I said, it's not worth it. I had offers for me to go to California. I had a businessman come to me and says, I will take good care of you. I will buy you a house. I'll buy you a car. You come and go into business with me, but you can't be in ministry. Yeah. What if I got weary and well-doing? When it didn't look like nothing was harvesting, I would never have seen the fruit that we have this day. You know, God has blessed us financially, but even greater than that, ministry-wise. The churches and the work of God, and God is allowing us to spearhead a movement in this northeast region that's going to shake this nation and the world. But what if I would have got weary and fainted? I would not reap. I want to encourage you tonight. Your harvest is coming. Man, I can tell you stories. I remember one time, you know, we had nothing. You know, we loved God, we served, we gave, we did everything. I remember one time someone gave my wife a gift card to Pier 1. And she was thrilled because she never got anything. And we didn't have any money. And she was thrilled. And of course, in her mind was churning. There were so many needs in our home, you know, to buy something. And it was churning. And I had to go to her and say, honey, we're invited to so-and-so, and we need to have a gift. Now, I have no money for the gift. And I hate to ask you, but can we give that Pier 1 gift card as a gift? And of course, my wife's a sweetheart and a soldier. Says, sure, honey. But that hurt. And, you know, and if any time be attempting to give up is when you have to do stuff like that. But I know God is true to his word. That God says, I would reap if I faint not. Yeah. Glory to God. And I always remember that. And that's why I told my wife, you stick with me, I'll give you a Louis Vuitton for every day of the week.
Yeah.
And I'm almost halfway there. Blessed be God. Payday is coming.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said this, that God doesn't settle up at the end of the week, neither at the end of the month, and sometime not at the end of the year, but eventually payday is coming. But I don't want you to be weary. If you get weary and give up, you uproot from the church, you uproot from doing right, you uproot from tithing. What you do is you cut the tree down. And see, when you cut the tree down, you can't glue it back together. I've tried that. It don't work. If after 6 or 7 years you cut that tree down, you've got to start all over again. That's why it's so crucial to stay planted in the house of God. They that are planted shall flourish. Not them that are potted, going here. Oh, the Lord led me here. Lord led me there. No, there's longevity, there's stability in staying in the place and being faithful. How much time do I have? Oh, yeah. I forgot. This is Pastor Tim's church. So that was my introduction. But we see this in the Bible. How important it is to be faithful, to stay true to where you need to be, not to be moved, especially when it looks like nothing is happening. Am I just preaching myself to you? But have you been there? You've had preachers talking about faith and prosperity, and you did all the formulas, you did all the confessions, and you're looking, how dry I am, how dry I am. Nobody knows how dry I am. But God says, in due season, you shall reap. There's a reaping coming to the body of Christ. Dr. Webb told me a time when he went to Israel, and there's some prophecy in Israel where God said that he would make the desert bloom again. And see, what had happened for years and years, you know, birds would travel by, drop seed, drop stuff, and seeds by winds would be scattered over the desert, but how many know the seeds can't grow if there's no water? But this one year, it was prophesied in the Bible that he caused, you know, a river to come to the wilderness. He'd cause things to flourish in the desert. And he was there. He happened to be in Israel, where there was flowers and plants in a desert that was barren before. And now it was so, it was beautiful and pristine. What happened? All the seeds for years were finally harvested. Brothers and sisters, that's what's coming to the body of Christ. No seed will go unharvested unless you give up. Unless you say, that's it. I'm not tithing anymore. I'm not serving anymore. It just don't work. Then you faint not. You'll reap if you faint not. You faint. So we see this in the Bible, the story of two men. There's a man named Lot. It's a negative story. He hooked up with Abraham. But strife came in to the house. We know the story. There was strife. And Abraham says, hey, nephew, we can't have any strife. And so Lot separated from his connection of his place where the blessing was, what God was doing. The blessing was on Abraham. God was moving in Abraham's life. And Lot was blessed as long as he was hooked up with Abraham. But Lot got a big head and said, you know what? I have my own ministry now. I'm blessed now. I really don't need you, uncle, anymore. I'm my own man. I'm my own minister. He separated himself. What happened? He lost everything he had. Yikes. What happened? Well, he fainted. He separated. He cut himself off from the root. But I really want to focus on this other tale. A man named Joseph. Here, Joseph was 17 years old. God gave him a vision that greatness was going to come in his life, that God was going to do something mighty with his life. And it's pretty amazing when God gives you a vision. The devil and people don't like it. And his brothers hated him for him, and his brothers sold him into slavery. Here, God is wanting to do something great in his life and bring him to a great place, and he sold into slavery. It looked like he was going backwards. Have you ever been there? God, you told me this. You told me you'd bless me. And now it looks like I got nothing. I'm going backwards and not forward. See, you need to stay true. You're going to reap if you think not. What if Joseph would have got mad at his brothers? That's it. God told me, God showed me that I was going to be a leader. And now this is happening. To hell with you, God, and to hell with my family. And I'm not talking to anybody. I'm going to be bitter the rest of my days. He would have died in slavery. But what was he? He was faithful. And faithful to what God told him. He faithful to what was hand, with his hands touched. Faithful to do what God told him to do. And something amazing happened. Potiphar's wife got the hots for him one day and made a pass at him. And of course, he ran away, and it happened over and over again. And of course, Potiphar got upset that he did not respond to her advances. So he grabbed his skirt or whatever, tore it off of him, and lied and said, "This man tried to rape me." And he went from slavery into prison. Here, God gave him a vision, and he's going from bad to worse. Have you been there? God showed you some things. You see some things in the Word. And man, you're standing on it. You're standing on it. You're believing God. You're believing God. And the reports just get worse and worse. His faithfulness was tested. But his roots were growing as long as he stayed true. And see, your faithfulness will be tested. I tell my ministers that God will look at your heart and judge you by how you react to the weakness in your leader. You know, just how you respond to things and whether you're going to complain. Remember the children of Israel? God wanted to take Israel out of Egypt, and he had a great place called the Promised Land, a land of plenty, a land of good things. God is always trying to get you into the Promised Land. But to get to the Promised Land, there was a little stretch of land called the wilderness, the desert. In order to get to the Promised Land, you had to go through the desert. There's something that I call the wilderness factor. And there's been too many people that die in the wilderness, because they don't understand it's only temporary. And God says, I allowed you to suffer. I allowed you to go through the wilderness to see what was in your heart, whether you would obey me or not. What was meant just for a 3 to 11 day time in the wilderness to get them into the Promised Land, they died there. Too many people are dying in the wilderness. Why? They're not faithful. The Bible says a faithful man who can find. There's a message burning in me that I want to call the casualties of war. You know, I mentor people, and for 30 years, I've seen people with great potential that God called them to me to train them for ministry. They had such potential, but they cut themselves off. You know, and some of them are dead, some of them are in homosexuality, some of them, just horror stories. Did God do that to them? No. whatever a man soweth, that shall they reap. That they become casualties where God had such great things for them, but they gave off and went in a different direction, and they never got into their promised land. It takes time. It takes time for a tree to grow roots before it produces fruit. And we see this in Joseph's life. You know, it was challenged. And for 13 years, it looked like nothing was happening. Not only didn't it look like nothing was happening, it looked like he was going in the opposite direction. Slavery, and I was faithful, I tithed and I gave, and now I'm in prison, now I'm in debt. Now I lost my home. God, you said this, you said that. Have you ever been there? God all the time was positioning himself for promotion, positioning Joseph. What if after 12 years, Joseph would have said, to hell with God. To hell with this. Here for 12 years, I have done nothing but right. I've been faithful. I was in church 30 minutes early, never missed a Sunday. I served in nursery. I served in ushers. I served in parking lot. 12 years. And nothing seems to happen for me. To hell with this. It just don't work. And walks out. You will reap if you faint not. See, there's a harvest coming, brothers and sisters. And if you will stay faithful and remain and do what you know to do, those seeds will produce. Your harvest year is coming. And once the harvest comes and the trees come, every year it will become greater and greater and greater. God says, you shall reap. And God says it, he must be the guarantor. He must be the one who makes it happen. And he says, all I need for you is not to faint. So brothers and sisters, don't faint. Stay with it. Keep tithing. Keep serving. Keep doing what you need to do. If it looks like you're going backwards, you just laugh and say, man, it looked like it's going backwards, but I'm not moved by sight. I'm moved by faith. My harvest is coming. Harvest is imminent in Jesus' name. So, in the words of Lester Sumrall, that is my message to you. Thus saith the Lord. And may my fruit remain. May every single one of you be smack dab in the middle of the will of God. May every one of you receive all that you sowed these years in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who knows the mind of the Father. And Lord, Jesus said over and over again, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. This is something that you've given me to say to the churches, that a harvest is coming. Now, Father, I encourage them to stay faithful. It's only if they're faithful will they abound in blessing. Only if they stay true to the roots that they'll see the fruit that is destined to come their way. And so, Father, I pray for everyone who's sung my voice, Father, for grace and strength and fortitude to stick with it, to not to give up, to stay true to you, stay true to the local church, stay true to know to what they know to do. And Father, I just thank you that their harvest will come in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we talked about what's coming, and we're all excited for it. This belongs to every one of God's children. And I'm a guest here. There's so many new faces, but I don't want to leave tonight unless I know that everyone is born again. So real quick, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here? You've not been born again. and you'd like to be born again, would you raise your hand? Anybody here, you've not been born again? Why do we need to be born again? Jesus said you have to. See, if you could have gone to church, kept the Ten Commandments, Jesus wouldn't have to die for your sin. But no matter how many good works you do, your good works cannot wash away your sin. Only the blood of Jesus, only Jesus can wash away your sin. And the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anybody here, you've never been born again? I'm going to give one more invitation. If you're here and you're what we call backslidden, you're out of fellowship with God. Now I know we're talking Tuesday nights and you got to be pretty much in love with Jesus to come on Tuesday night to church. But I would hate to not give an invitation and someone to die and go to hell because I didn't give them a proper invitation to make the right adjustments in their life. So real quick, is there anybody here that you're backslidden? You're out of fellowship with God, and tonight, man, God is doing something awesome. I don't want to be smack dab in the middle of it, but I got to give my life back to God, and I need to reconsecrate and dedicate my life to God, and you want to do that tonight. Can I see your hand? Anybody? All right. So I hear that, Lord. I hear that. You know, I talked about the importance of staying true no matter what it looks like. Not giving up when it seems like all hell is breaking loose. That harvest is coming. But we also need to understand that God's a God of mercy. All of us could not stand without the mercy of God. And there are some that you've made wrong choices. You've known that you'd serve God for a little bit and then you do this or that. And you serve God for a little bit and you do this and that. And you flip-flopped. And you know you have. And not only wasted months, but you've wasted some years. I want you to know that God loves you. And God is going to do everything he can in your life of the seed you sow. So don't think that, man, I'm going to miss out because of the mistakes of the past. That is the beauty of the blessed blood of Jesus. He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God will do things on credit for you. That if you make a fresh dedication, fresh consecration, he'll put you right back in front of the class. He won't hold those things behind. If you'll start tonight and say, Lord, a fresh start tonight. I tell you, he's going to bless you. He's going to help you. He's going to make sure you're smack dab in the middle of this. So with heads bowed, I pick that up in my spirit. I don't know, it may be for those that are online that are watching. But in your heart, you know, man, that helped me. That encouraged me. Just go ahead and raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. Yeah, I see the hands. I just want to make sure I was hearing. Because some of you, when I looked at you, I picked this up. And so I wanted to make sure. So I don't want to leave you with a message of condemnation, but a message of encouragement. For those of you that have been faithful over the years, harvest is coming. Those of you who missed it, bless God, tonight is a brand new night for you. Start sowing good seeds. Show the Lord your faithfulness. Remember the parable where people that working in this man's vineyard for 11 hours got paid a certain amount? Then people at the 11th hour that only worked 1 hour got the same amount of the people that had been working faithfully for 11 hours. That's what he's going to do for you. If you'll give your heart 100% and show him you mean business from this, you're in the 11th hour, he's going to make it up to you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Pastor Brad, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Amen. Glory to God. We're going to get ready to take up an offering. On a Wednesday, if you've brought your tithes for tonight, go ahead and specify that. But all the offering that will be taken up will go to Pastor Michael. What we're going to do is just go ahead, if you make out a check, make it out to Family Church, And then we'll make one big collective check and give it to Pastor Michael to bless him. Amen. Galatians 6:6. Let him who's taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Glory to God. I just wanted to give a quick testimony because I guess it must have been probably 13, maybe 14 years ago. I walked into a church, and I walked into this church, and there was probably 8 people. Went from middle of the afternoon to later in the afternoon, and I'm looking in there, and I'm like, what in the world did I just walk into? All of a sudden, this man comes up to me, Pastor Michael Laketic, and he says, introduced himself. I said, Pastor, I said, what is it that makes you do, or why is it that you're here right now? He says, well, the Lord instructed me and told me to come here. He said, I drew a line in the sand. He says, I crossed that line and I'm not going back. Today, I walk into a church in Jamestown and I see 400 people in the seats, praising, shouting, glorifying, serving God on a Sunday. Why? Because in due season, there was a man, Pastor Michael, every service, when we were at the Holiday Inn, it was Bible Christian Fellowship before it became Family Church, he would say, those that sat in darkness shall see great light. They that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung upon them. Week after week, year after year. And now what we walk into on a continual basis every Wednesday and every Sunday is because there's a demonstration of the fruit of one man's faithfulness, that he's not speaking to us as individuals because this is what the word says. This is an individual that has walked that line and has walked that course, and we are all recipients of the fruit that abounds to his account. And see, I tell these things because there are people that are here new, and you walk into a building like this, oh, glory to God, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, no, you don't understand what Pastor Michael was talking about when you go through the wilderness and you're believing God for gas money to get you to the place that he's called you to minister to. You don't understand the price that's been paid. You don't understand when there was a scarecrow crew and you're shaking your own hand in meet and greet time. Amen. You don't understand those days. But then you step into a place like this and you see fruit that is abounding because of one man's faithfulness. So that's on my heart because I was there. I had the opportunity to see Pastor Michael, see the work. And now I look out when I'm doing announcements even on Sunday morning and I see this place packed all the way to the back. Glory to God. He's good. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready to give here tonight? Do you have your offerings ready? Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. It's such an honor to give, Father. We receive your word. Father, we give because we love you and we're grateful for you. And Father, we know that as we sow good seed into good ground, that harvest is imminent. We know, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we know that this seed leaves our hand and it goes into our future. And Father, we thank you for Pastor Michael. We thank you for his anointing. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for the deposits of your anointing and your word that resonate within us. And Father, we leave changed and we leave different. And Father, we glorify you. We praise you. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to give. We give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you may serve. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's just so wonderful to have Pastor Michael here. And if you are new and you know you haven't had an opportunity to hear Pastor Michael, now you understand why it is an honor to have him here. We're so grateful as a church body to have the leadership of Pastor Michael. And so praise the Lord. I see the ushers are going by. If you'll go ahead and stand to your feet before we dismiss, let's just love on the Lord here. Let's just praise and worship him. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. Father, we leave a doer, we leave changed, and we leave blessed. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.